an imposition sentence and place him on probation.
But if you sentence him, and just suspend the execution, if you sentence him to 5 years in custody of the corrections division, or whatever you want to call it, that's going to make it a felony right then. Isn't it?
Yeah, I think under this language.
But presently it doesn't.
Well, that's an open question.
Yeah, I know it.
This is one I hope that we solve here.
Probably will.
Certainly this is what we were trying to, this is what Courtney was really working hard at when we had this before, and this is what we were trying to do, and we had several other judges that meeting. I remember Judge Rodman was there at one of the meetings, and I think Judge Sloan was there, and
very frequently one of the very aspects you consider is as a result of what I do here today, is the guy going to be a felon or not? And it's terribly important that at least we get things so that the judge and all others know exactly is this guy a felon or not when he walks out of here.
Then if that's what we mean, what the commentary should show is that under F, if the court grants probation to the defendant after imposition of sentence, but upon suspension of the sentence, and he's thereafter discharged without sentence, it's a felony.
Well, that's what F says.
Well, no, F talks imposition and is silent on suspension of the execution. But it's implied.
Yeah, the other area, Don, it seems to me that I'm not sure we're covering here is, and one we frequently use, is you grant probation, but you impose as a condition of probation a term in the county jail. And I'm not sure that we've covered that in this, because he says A is without granting probation, you send him to county jail. Or C, upon revocation of probation, you send him to county jail. But it seems to me we should make it clear that where you do grant probation and send him to county jail,
that'd be for less than a year, wouldn't it?
Well, a year or less. The present statute.
What is that statute?
The present statute, we can send him to the county jail as a condition of probation for not more than a year or not more than one half the maximum of that offense.
Well, that statute was new in 67, and up to then,
that statute was passed to legitimatize what Paul Harris
was doing.
Yeah,
right.
Because he used to do that a lot.
And it's been severely criticized in many quarters, too. It's inconsistent.
I think it's the best tool that a judge has.
I know that this NCCD report, this is one of the recommendations that they made. You shouldn't have such a thing in the Model Sentencing Act. Well, they think that it's...
They can't get it through their head that when you put a guy on probation that you also put him in the pokey. And yet the whole idea is, and it'll become even more valuable when we get decent regional correctional facilities, the whole idea is to have something short of total confinement. Because where we use it most frequently is on work release.
Yeah, right.
And the whole idea is you're not separating the offender totally from the community. And so that when you put him on probation and you say, 6 months in the county jail on work release.
Well, what that NCCD report overlooks is that in the greater percentage of the cases, if the judges didn't have that available to them, they'd send the guy to the
He'd get a longer sentence.
He'd go
I think.
He'd go down.
Yeah.
but...
Yeah, I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying the judge has been criticized as, they think it's an inconsistency.
Well, I remember seeing Reuben mention that when he was out here.
And sending to jail.
And sending to the worst possible kind of jail.
Well, but the thing that's one of the, we're getting back to the same problem again. That's one of the things about MCCI, because MCCI is a decent kind of an institution, and it's compatible with the objectives of probation, whereas Rocky Butte is not. And unless it's some kind of a rare case, you don't use that 60 or 90 day jail sentence as a condition of probation. Where you expect him to go to Rocky Butte? Because you recognize that is destructive of the intent of probation.
The judge from Lakeview, in a case that I know about, granted probation, and one of the terms was that he'd serve six months in the county jail, and specifically said that he could not go on work release. Sodomy case.
Well, I see it used in Lane County quite a bit on things like petty larceny involving university students, something like that, or one of the conditions was that they'd spend so many weekends in the county jail, and they'd spend maybe four consecutive weekends.
This is what is known as
shoplifters.
Known as the clanging door therapy.
Yeah.
But I think that's a
football players, they ought to do it in the middle of the week.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I didn't want specific one of mine.
Yeah, we had a few, all right. It used to be kind of a joke down there, you know. We used to threaten the guys that if they didn't play well on Saturday, they'd be show cause on Monday for revocation.
I had a car dealer one time on the DWI where I made certain, I think, 10 weekends in jail or something. And he said, wait a minute, is that the best day of the week? So I saw the other day. What kind of penitentiary?
What are you looking at now?
Under A, say with or without.
Yeah, I think that would probably.
Yeah, that'd do it.
No, wait a minute.
Well, that's reads with.
And the defendant is there after discharge without sentence. Would you want to put that on there?
Well, no, not there.
It doesn't read well, does it?
No.
With granting.
No.
Where are you going to take granting out? Say with or without probation.
Wouldn't that be better in F?
Well, no, we're talking about a new term that we were using now, this discharge. It isn't new in connection with probation, I guess, because the court now has authority to discharge upon revocation. But it'd be better in this A, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Did you just say with or without probation?
Yeah, strike out that granting.
Read inconsistently with respect to
the other two subsections where you say without granting G and B.
Why don't you just have a new
paragraph? Why don't you have a separate subsection? Renumber.
After granting probation.
Upon granting probation.
Well, upon granting probation or without granting probation, the court imposes a sentence of. You still use it in the same subsection.
Mm-hmm.
Is a county jail a correctional facility?
Not even well known, county.
It's a sieve.
Yeah.
Could be Lamba.
Oh, Dave Frost was driving Don Clark wild with that sieve. I guess that's...
Dave could drive down the crazy along than he wants to.
Well, actually, though, is a county jail a correctional facility?
Yeah.
Well, I think it is, and furthermore, we have in our article on escape, the way we have defined that term in that article, for what it's worth, although it doesn't necessarily apply to this, but I mean, we've certainly included it within our definition of correctional facility for purposes of escape.
Okay.
Upon granting probation or without granting probation, the court imposes a sentence of imprisonment to a correctional facility other than the penitentiary or the Oregon State Correctional Institution.
Now,
the guy goes to the forest camp. I have the same objection that I have at
first. I suppose it's a matter of terminology. Technically, you don't impose the sentence, you require to serve it as a condition of probation under the present language.
That's right, and I was trying to find that statute, 137.
Yeah.
It's 137.330, isn't it?
Why don't we say the part orders or requires?
No, 137.540. The court shall determine and may at any time modify the conditions of probation, which may include as well as any others that the probation shall, and so forth and so on, be confined in the county jail. It's actually spoken of as a condition of probation, not as a sentence of the crime, and maybe we better just write in a new subsection.
You know, I always thought that was an awfully good statute.
No.
137.540.
Particularly
the one about paying for his damages.
Now, what Courtney said at the time of this language about correctional facility, he had in mind that there may be in the future facilities other than a county jail that would be developed for confinement.
I withdraw my comment.
But.
Now, Don, you'll write another sub-paragraph then, huh? To take care of this one as a condition of probation, the court orders imprisonment or confinement to correctional facility other than.
Upon granting probation, the court requires as a condition of probation confinement in a correctional facility other than OSP or OCI.
Yeah, either there. We could look at that ORS statute.
You could refer to the statute, but I wonder if it's wise to start doing that too much when we're going to be changing that.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm wondering is we're going to be retaining most of 137, aren't we?
Well, that was... Yeah,
we're going to be, so this is necessarily going to conflict with the existing 137.540. Now that
why is it going to conflict?
Because here we're going to say essentially the same thing in this new section that you just drafted. Upon granting probation, the court can impose as a condition thereof that the defendant serve specified time.
Won't conflict though.
Well, it'll be the same, won't it?
No.
Well, it'll be the same with 137.540
No, all we're doing here though is just just providing when it isn't a felony, when it is and isn't a felony.
Yeah, I don't think that would repeal that statute,
John. But when we finish our procedural revision, whenever that may be, then all of 137 will be or recodified.
Yeah, of course, when and if we do that, then then what we're doing here today is going to have to be amended to conform.
It seems to me also that sub E, that if sub E says the court declares that the offense to be a misdemeanor either at the time of granting probation without imposition of sentence or on application of the defendant or his probation officer thereafter, again, seems to me that this leaves out the instance in which you grant probation and make him serve time as a condition of it.
You mean inconsistent with what we've just done?
No, but it, in other words, it may be that you'll want to make him spend 6 months in the county jail as a condition of probation, but that you want to, at the very outset, tell him it's not going to be a felony. I'm going to declare a misdemeanor right now. In some instances, that could be.
Well,
we can do that. Well, but you see, E says it's going to be a misdemeanor if the court declares it to be a misdemeanor, either at the time of granting probation without imposition of sentence or on application of defendant or his probation officer thereafter.
Well, under the language of the statutes, though, that's a term of in condition of probation and is not an imposition of a sentence.
Well,
is it? Because under 137.510, it sets out the power of the court may suspend the imposition or execution of sentence, and may also place the defendant on probation. So you're still, if you're placing him on probation, you're not imposing sentence, are you?
Well,
to me.
So that nobody confuses it, why do we need the words without imposition of sentence? Because if you grant probation and you declare the offense to be a misdemeanor.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that would screw up would be if that would possibly take in the cases then where you would impose sentences and suspend execution.
You need an imposition in there to differentiate between.
Well, I wouldn't do that, Jim, because if you impose sentences and suspended imposition.
Suppose we say this, at the time of granting probation after suspending imposition of sentence. Or upon suspension of imposition of sentence.
Either at the time of granting probation.
Upon suspension of imposition of sentence.
I think that would do it.
And that would exclude upon a suspension of
execution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I send you to suspend the imposition sentence. Make you serve in a criminal or condition.
Unconstitutional cruel. The other thing, and I question I have about this is maybe it's covered in the later sections. The What do they mean? What does he mean by saying, or on application of the defendant or his probation officer thereafter? Does that mean that you suspend imposition of sentence, place him on probation, you don't say anything about it? And then he comes in later and says, Judge, will you make the record show that you declare it to be a misdemeanor?
Yeah. You're following some of what's mentioned in this book that maybe later a person can go in and ask to have his sentence reduced. That's what you're talking about.
Well, this came from
the 1963 amendment to Section 17 of the California Penal Code. And, let's see if he had anything else to say about it. I don't think that...
But isn't that what it means?
Well, I'm trying to see if...
Well, they talk in there in terms of defense counsel or defendant not being able, shouldn't be able to go ex parte to get the sentence reduced, but that they can do it in open court. Seems like this last clause here.
Of course, do you really need this? What do you achieve with E that you don't achieve with the other subsections?
Well, what you achieve is that you sentence me to you sentence me for a crime and suspend the execution of it, and it's a felony, and later my attorney comes in with the district attorney, the application is made for you to declare that to have been a misdemeanor. Is that it, Don?
If you come in, take the joyriding statute. So if you come in and you either 2 years in the penitentiary or 2 years in the penitentiary,
6 months
in the penitentiary, suspend execution and probation in a bunch of terms, or you can suspend imposition and either probate him or not as you see fit. If you sentence him and execute upon it, or if you sentence him and suspend execution, it's a felony.
Right.
If you do anything else, it's a misdemeanor.
Right.
Even without sub E, isn't it?
Well, it is presently.
Well, Jim, you hear a man's charged, and you state the sentence is going to be 2 years. You place him on, probation. You suspend the imposition of sentence. 6 months afterward, you haven't done anything yet. 6 months after that, he comes in, or his probation officer comes in, and asks you to declare this offense to be a misdemeanor.
Assuming that the guy spends his 2 years on probation or goes to the termination of his probation period, it's a misdemeanor anyway, whether I say so or not, under present law and also under the other subsections here. The only thing that this might issue would be that if you declare a misdemeanor at the time and then he fouls up on probation, presumably you would be limited to what punishment you could impose thereafter if you revoked probation.
And I think that was the purpose of it.
I'm not really too sure that's a good idea.
I think that this was, in other words, I think the intent was that that you would not be punishing the guy for what he did on probation, but you would be punishing him for what the crime was, in other words. And this was, in effect, to make the court elect. I think this is what we discussed in our meeting before, that this was to make the court decide then and there, regardless what the guy does later. If he screws up when you bring him back in, then you don't zap him because he screwed up on probation.
Yeah. What does the ABA standard say about that?
Zap anything like
what? Well, it's
a little tougher.
A little tougher than what?
More permanent. Doesn't the ABA, don't they speak to this?
That's right, they do. They say specifically that you shouldn't be punished for offenses committed which lead to revocation,
I'm not sure I agree with that.
Well, I'm not so sure I do either. It seems to me that it leads to less of a proliferation of charges against the defendant. I had one just a week or so ago, and Bob Jones gave him two good chances. Had him up on a revocation once, and he should have been revoked, and he gave him a chance. And he went out and got high on pot again, and got picked up by the police and escaped when they tried to arrest him. Now, they charged him with escape. Before he came up for revocation, and Jones sent him down to OCI. Now they'll drop that escape charge. However, if that was going to be treated as a misdemeanor and he was going to go back to county jail for 3 or 4 months, in all likelihood, the district attorney probably would proceed with the escape.
Sure.
You know, so
I'm not so sure that that's it. I suppose the theory is that you should impose the penalty at the time and express the community's response and so on, but the very notion of probation, it seems to me, is, okay, kid, you stole the car, but we ain't going to put you in the slammer this time. We're going to give you a chance. Now, if you behave yourself, the only punishment you get is you got to check in once a month and make your reports and so on. But if you screw up, we're going to bring you back. We're going to punish you for stealing that car. Now, maybe that theory isn't sound, but I'm sure that's the theory.
I don't think it's used, and I think judges should have that degree of latitude. In fact, they have more latitude now. I think serves as a real deterrent.
Spoken like a true judge. Well,
is there a motion then? I agree with you. I don't think that E really serves any.
I will say this, though, and maybe this isn't the right time to bring it up, but I suppose it's as good a time as any. We'll get into it a little later on, probably. I would hope that we would take a real good look at a procedure whereby, after the defendant has successfully served a term of probation for certain offenses, that he can come in withdraw his plea of guilty, enter a plea of not guilty, and have the charge dismissed. Now, this is done in some states,
Nevada.
And I think it is an excellent program. It doesn't, but what it does is it rewards him for good conduct on probation by wiping out the conviction. It doesn't wipe off the record of the arrest or it doesn't wipe out the fact that proceedings happened, but it wipes out the blot on his record.
Well, that's a wipe out for habitual criminal purposes.
What?
Yeah, I remember the conversation there. And then the next question was, well, what on the application for a license, it says, have you ever been convicted of a felony? What's he say?
He says no. He says no, because he hadn't been convicted of a felony.
A little bit.
And that's the very purpose of it. And when the kids today who are violating the draft law and smoking pot, when they grow up and become responsible citizens, if you don't have this kind of thing, what you're going to have is among other things, a lot of people shut out of public areas that probably they ought to be entitled to be in, and also what you're going to have is tremendously overworked pardon.
No, you might have that as a condition for getting into some of these areas.
there's an awful lot of decent, capable young persons today that are getting felonies on their records. And in later years, when they grow up and get with it and so on, hopefully, you're going to deprive the community of a lot of valuable people.
You mean to say that they are, even though they've committed felonies?
Even though they've committed felonies, you bet.
Such as arson?
No, I'm not saying this for all.
The federals have it now on the Youth Offenders Act.
Well, it's a sort of like that.
You can get a pardon. Mr. Stories is, because I had a arson case here where the guy had had a youthful conviction and served some time, I think, in El Reno or someplace, and the DA couldn't impeach him because we had a certificate of pardon or whatever, and couldn't impeach him on the basis of prior conviction.
I really, I hope
that we'll get into that.
I'm not sure this is the proper place to get into it, but. I hope the commission takes a very careful look at
Well, what are we going to do on E?
Yeah, let's get back to E. Mr. Chairman. Well, I think E is well, I don't know what to say about E.
Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I'm not intimidated, but I think the judge is inconsistent when he says, well, in one breath, really, you say that a guy, you're going to zap him for putting up on probation and not for what he did. Now, presumably, when a man's convicted, I mean, before you decide whether to put him on probation or not, or suspend sentence, you've got the advantage of a pre-sentence investigation and all these things, and you know a great deal about the man, you know a great deal about the his prior record and the nature of the crime, and that if he's going to deserve felony treatment, you should have a fairly good idea at the time whether or not you're going to treat it as a felony or not, and not have it hang over his head and say, well, I'm going to put you on probation, and if you make it, then you're home free, but otherwise you may get clobbered with a felony. And it seems to me that he's being punished for what he does afterwards rather than what he's done before. And I, even as a former prosecutor, that doesn't bother me. Not near as much as expunging the record. But I think he's a... I think he's a good provision, and it apparently works in California. I mean, this isn't a new proposal. This has been in the California law since 1963, and this is where Courtney drew it. But you know, it does force the judge to make an election, I guess, but...
Well, Don?
Well, I'll say this.
If it piles up on probation, it's usually a crime anyhow, so...
I mean, if he's really fouled up and you can convict him for a new crime or a new felony, certainly, then you can go ahead and take him on.
Well, you see, what I really think, is when the judge does this, he's looking at that pre-sentence report and he's scratching his head and he's saying to himself, I don't know what, I would give this guy a chance. Maybe against my better judgment, but I'm going to, because I really can't get a handle on it from the pre-sentence and from everything, from the facts and from it. So I'm going to give him a chance, and it seems to me that then the guy screws up, he screws up badly. That is kind of a continuing offense, really, in a certain sense of the word, as far as God's jurisdiction over. The judge should have latitude there, but rather than to be forced in the first instance before he really knows as much as he would like to know, to go either way.
Well, I would say this to you. I would dare say that it would be a very, very rare instance in which the court would make such a declaration.
Oh, I think it would.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this would protect the judge's indecisiveness and reduce his ability to play God.
Well, you'd simply say, I also think the consideration John mentioned is a very valid consideration. These guys are out there screwing up all the time, and if you got to try every damn case that comes in, they got too many cases to try now. Mm-hmm. They're coming out their ears. George Van Hoosen's got the third largest law firm in the state of Oregon. And he's asking for 8 more deputies.
Mr. Carson?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
What do you think?
I'm all right on that one.
We may have a 2-2 situation here. No, I really don't see any reason why the judge shouldn't have that continuing latitude and control over him. And I don't think that you're punishing him for something he did during his period of probation. It's probably gives the judge a better opportunity to determine whether or not he judged this man right initially.
Tony, in a way you really are. I agree with the with this criticism in the sense that you bring him back and you zap him. Now, really, what happens is you bring him back and you say, to yourself, well, I gave the son of a bee a chance and he kicked me in the face, you know, and society in the face.
Not society, the judge.
Yeah, well, he didn't steal my car. Stole John Burns' car.
Yeah.
But really, this is what you're thinking about, is that, by George, I didn't give you 2 years before, and I sure the devil should have, because you went right out and did it all over again. So in a way, that's what you're doing. That's right.
And you think that's all right?
But I don't see the other than the. I can see where you can theoretically criticize that. But
I move we approve. E.
Do I give Cass 1/2 vote for I and 1/2
vote for I? That's about the way I feel, really. George, what do you think?
I don't have a vote, Mr. Chairman. No, I think I agree with the judge on this one.
Well, if what you and I are saying, Judge, and what the Chairman and George agree, that would be to delete somehow or other.
Yes.
Somehow or other.
What do you mean somehow or other? You either delete it or you don't. Somehow or other.
Well, not ever before, not even
then. I don't know. I suppose maybe you leave it in, but I'm, as I say, I just...
I like to know what side you're on.
Well, yeah. I'm
on the agree with you. Just decide what you want to agree with.
This is... That's all the more reason for approving this indecisiveness.
If you leave it in, I don't think there'd be very many instances in which it would be you. Period.
Well, then that's the answer.
Because
would like a couple years to think about it.
But a defendant might let walking get a judge on a good day, and he'll say, okay, this is a misdemeanor, you know? And then from there on,
he's home free.
It's right, it's a misdemeanor, no matter what you do later.
We thought we'd amend that to provide a pun.
Should expunge the misdemeanor and make
between probation and without. Get that moving?
No.
Upon suspension of. At the time of granting probation upon suspension of imposition of sentence.
Are we going to break for dinner, Mr.
Yes, yeah, we are, but we want to get through with this.
And you delete the without, right?
Delete the without.
Okay. I'm all right on that one.
Senator Burns moves that amendment be made. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Gary?
Yes.
However,
later
tonight, will you tell us what we did?
Now, we've gone through all of these. We didn't decide, however, with reference to Section 1 and Section 2 about the ordinances of cities.
Yeah.
seems to me to be consistent that in section 2, after the word state, that we should put in parallel language to that which is contained in the definition of offenses relating to city ordinances.
Or we decide to take out the words defined by any statute of this state.
Yeah.
Just take this word back.
Is there a motion?
I think we will.
You heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carried.
No.
One no vote.
I'm Miss Noja. I agree with you now on this.
Now, shall we approve the article as amended?
So moved.
So moved.
All right. Call the roll.
All right. Just a minute. Judge Burns?
Aye.
Senator Burns?
Aye. It's a real exercise in...
Aye. And let the record show that we worked for 3 hours and 17 minutes. Let's recess until...
Chairman, we're 3:15 on the ordinance.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
very good.
Really.
Yeah.
Again, in this article, as I did in the first one, I've attempted to incorporate these provisions into ORS 137, 010 to 070. And as you can see in section 1, provides for amending 137.010. First of all, in subsection 1, deleted some language there and added new language to make it consistent with what we're trying to do.
It took you all day just to do that.
Started at 8 in the morning.
First of all, sub 1 would now read the statutes that define offenses. Impose the duty upon the court to pass sentence in accordance with this chapter unless otherwise specifically provided by law. And then sub 2, when a person is convicted of an offense and the court does not suspend the imposition or execution of sentence or place the defendant on probation. Or when a suspended sentence or probation is revoked, the court shall impose the following sentence. Setting out the different options, A, B, and C are existing law. D is new. We're again talking about discharging the defendant.
Don, two or three questions. I wonder, are we redundant? And the court does not suspend the imposition or execution of sentence or place the defendant on probation. No, I'm going to say placing him on probation, you'd have to suspend either the imposition or execution of sentence.
No.
I mean, that would be a condition proceeding on probation. But I guess that isn't necessarily true. We can put him on probation to the court without that would be identical, pretty much similar to a discharge.
Well, it would be similar. The suspended sentence without probation would be similar to what some of these codes call a conditional discharge. Now,
can you get the other way though? Can you have a suspended sentence without probation, but can you have probation without what John's question?
Can you have probation without?
Well, the way our present statute reads, it reads as if you got to suspend the imposition or execution
before you get to probation.
Well, it says this.
Which one?
137.510. Courts having criminal courts may suspend imposition or execution for any period not to exceed 5 years and may also place a defendant on probation for up to 5 years. And so I think the way that most people feel it is now is you gotta say you suspend imposition or you impose and suspend execution in order to give yourself the power to grant probation. It's just words, really. I mean, as long as you grant probation to that, well, you're probating him instead of confining him. I don't think it hurts to have this worded in the alternative here.
Does it create a new category of sentence?
Well,
probation. Called probation without sentence. In other words, I'm convicted, and you say, okay, John, I'm going to give you 3 years probation to the state forest.
Well, the only...
If you don't say
I suspend imposition of sentence, if you just say I put you on probation, I think under the present law, if he came back on a violation, he would still have the power to impose the sentence, whether you said I suspend imposition of sentence or not. Because that'd be the only, I would think, be the only reason why you'd want to determine that. In other words, if you have to bring the guy back, if you just say, I put you on probation, and he does his probation and it expires and terminates at the end of the term, why, that's it.
Well, don't you suspend him and put him on probation?
Well, that's under this present statute.
But under the present law, the Corrections Division parole wouldn't have any authority to take jurisdiction of a guy. The court said, I'm putting you on probation, because under the statute says, may suspend imposition or execution, and may also put on.
Well, as a practical matter, what they do is, if you don't actually say that, what they do is the DA puts it in the form anyway.
Well, that's true. But
so when you sign the form, it says suspend imposition or suspend execution.
Yeah, because that's the effect of what you're doing.
Sure.
Say the words or not.
Yeah.
But by words here, are we creating something new that isn't in this statute without really intending to?
Well,
haven't you said it all when you say, and the court does not suspend the imposition or execution of sentence?
Well, if you retain this kind of a scheme, I think you've said it all.
I mean, then you want to suspend a sentence or probation is revoked. But I agree with John. I think you've created a third category. You have imposition, suspend execution, and the third category is place the defendant on probation. Because that's what it's written. That's what I read. And we don't mean to create a third category.
No, but you may want to, one thing you may want to achieve, and I didn't really read it this way, but one thing you may want to achieve is we do this sometimes now. I'm not so sure you actually have the power to do it. You suspend imposition of sentence, and you put him on probation, and you fine him. Now, I'm not at all sure that you actually got the power to do that. But they don't argue with you. But you see, I'm not sure there's actually authority to, say, suspend imposition of a jail sentence or a penitentiary sentence and put him on probation and at the same time make him pay a $500 fine, let's say.
Of course, you got a 137.540 gives you authority to pay a fine as a condition of probation.
Yeah, that's on probation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's implicit that you could have probation plus fine.
Yeah, probation plus fine, but not necessarily a suspended sentence plus a fine.
Yeah.
In other words, you can suspend the sentence without placing the man on probation.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question about that, and it's done all the time. That it's really a form of court probation. And this is, I think, very analogous to what some of these other codes call conditional discharge. you have a string on him, but he's not placed on probation. He's released by the court on certain conditions. And you can either have a plain suspension of imposition of sentence where you don't really expect to see the guy back before the court, or the court could impose sentence and suspend the execution of sentence and let the guy go. I mean, that's done. And that's what all I was trying to say in sub 2, that if the court does not suspend the imposition or execution, that meaning without probation, or place the defendant on probation, because or place the defendant on probation would include the suspension of sentence as part of the probation, but the suspension of sentence does not necessarily include probation. This is what I'm driving at. That the court may do any of these three things,
well, except that the way 137.510 reads, the court cannot now probate unless you suspend imposition or execution.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But
you want to keep it that way?
Well, if you intend to keep it that way, then you've thrown a hooker in here, probably unconsciously, it seems to me.
Well, now, but under 137.510 sub A, the court may suspend the imposition or execution of sentence for any crime or offense for any period not to exceed 5 years, and may also place him on probation.
Yeah, but also is a key word there, rather than or may place the person on probation, and also. In addition, after he's suspended.
Yeah, right. He can then go ahead and put him on probation, or he can leave it where he is. He can leave it with the suspended sentence. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was trying to indicate here, that if the court does not suspend the imposition or execution of sentence, or place him on probation, if you don't do any of these things that you're authorized to do under 137.510.
Well, I think we're straying over now, but I think John's still right. That is, you tend to be building in a third category that I don't really think is necessary. You said it all when you say the court does not suspend the imposition or execution of a sentence, and then go on down, or when a suspended sentence or probation is revoked.
Well, as a practical matter, what is the difference between a suspended sentence and probation?
Well, the difference is, under probation,
other than a matter of form,
he's placed in the hands of the probation department and supervised by the probation department. When you've got a straight suspended sentence, there's no supervision by the probation department. He's just released by the court on condition that the court may or may not impose. Sometimes have a suspended sentence with conditions, sometimes without.
Yeah, some we call it bench probation, where you stick in some conditions and maybe required to report to a lawyer once a month or something like that, but he isn't under the supervision of the state board.
Well, Don, I know exactly. Can you see the point that we're trying to make? The point that we're trying to make is if we want to make this consistent with 137.510, suspending the imposition or execution of the sentence is a condition precedent to the granting of probation. That being so, it does no violence to your proposal here to delete the words or place the defendant on probation, because it follows that if the court suspends the imposition or execution of sentence, one of the options available to it is placing the defendant on probation. And this talks here in terms of what happens when the court doesn't suspend the execution sufficient sentence, or when this is revoked, then these are probation is revoked, then these are the options.
But John, are you suggesting we delete the words or place the defendant on probation?
Yeah, but you have to read that in conjunction with 137.510, please. just as a map, I... You don't see it, Don.
Well, what you could achieve, or maybe you could both achieve, is by saying either with or without placing the defendant on probation.
Well...
Which throws some more words in there and makes the intent clear.
Well, all I say, and God, I hate to quibble over these minor things, but all I say is if you leave it this way, we create a new category.
Of what?
Of placing the defendant on probation without having either imposing a sentence or executing a sentence. You have three things now a judge could do.
Judge?
Implicitly. Of course, this is in the negative, I grant you that, and that's why it's not as important as it might be positive, because he's saying when he does not suspend the imposition, that's one, or suspend the execution, that's two, or place the defendant on probation, that's three. Three separate things the court can do. They're independent because you have conjunctive rather than or disjunctive.
Right. Yes.
So there are three separate things he can do, and that's not the fact. He can only do two things, and then he, according to statute, and also they probate. But now each one of the three, John and I are arguing, can stand alone, mutually exclusive, that you can suspend the imposition, you can suspend the execution, or you can probate. Three equal alternatives to the court.
What's your objection to the third?
I don't think you can't do the third without doing the first two. One of the first two. The third is kind of the whipped cream or the dessert. You've got to qualify or condition preceding. Do one.
Well,
of the
you're saying probation should always be a condition of either imposition or execution.
You have to. The statute says that.
Unless we want to change it and say that you can, without even touching the imposition, suspending the imposition, or suspending the execution, you can directly from the bench say, I place you on probation, which I understand they do, but then the words I'm getting is that DA assists them by then giving the form to say that it's either execution.
Well, you see, if you suspend imposition and you do it conditionally by putting him on probation, you retain the power, if he violates the probation and come back, and to impose sentence, which means you can impose any sentence. Then you could have at the start. And the same way with execution.
Well, except execution you've already spoken, haven't
you? Yeah. But you suspend execution in a sense conditionally. Conditionally in the sense that you're telling him you behave yourself on probation and the sentence won't be executed upon. But if you don't behave yourself, you might find yourself back in court and then the sentence will be executed upon.
And that's almost administrative then, really, in other words.